just when you thought it was safe that people were going to stop saying just when you thought it was safe. Two guys with a podcast are going to bring the reference back and say just when you thought it was safe to come back to your podcast feed. It's the Bitter End Season 9 wrap-up episode with me, Tom Denny.
But Tom, I never actually did think it was safe.
Well, then there we go.
That's... And me, Todd Jordan, because we are the Bitter End Podcast and we are done with Season 9. Give me a high five. That's Jaws done, baby. We have watched four Jaws films. We have been in the water. We have briefly been on the beach. We went back in the water again.
We went on a plane.
We went on a boat.
We saw Michael Caine trying to fuck someone's mum, and we saw a dog covered in coffee. We have lived, people. But now it's all over, and we're here to take stock on the heady brew that is the Jaws franchise.
Yes, because as with all of our seasons, we like to end them with a wrap-up, where we look back, we look at what God hath wrought, we look at where we have been and what we have learned, and what the franchise has dealt to all things outside of the world of the movies. But Tom...
Yes.
We're not here alone.
Oh!
We are joined by, popular listeners may recognise, the voice of Milo, the video game king of Brighton. Milo, how are you doing, baby?
I'm doing really well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're clear of sharks. But...
Thank you for sailing across the moat of your video game castle to come join us, because the reason you are here is because, our listeners may not realise, but you are something of a Jaws super fan.
I love all of them.
All of them? Okay, well...
So do you not have... surely amongst... Jaws, shark aficionados, shark finchionados, shall we say. Surely Jaws the Shark 1 is like meant to be the best one?
Oh yeah, it's the classic.
Do you know what? They all definitely had something for me because obviously Jaws the Shark 1 is like a very well told story and it's got some excellent performances in it and the script is great. Jaws the Shark 2, definitely not a great film, but I really enjoy Brody's like complete meltdown and it's got the fact he repeatedly tries to murder the sea.
Yeah, it's got the best shark bits in it, I'd say. Like the shark kills are really like, it's like the difference between Rambo and then Rambo 2. The first Rambo is like being, it's a film, it's like a serious film, and then it caught on in a big way, and then they go in like, right, sequel, we're gonna go schlock, we're gonna go big, we're gonna go silly, and that's very much what you get with Jaws 2, is why the shark has a giant scar on its face, a woman blows up her own butt, and like the shark gets electrocuted and flames shoot out of its eyes. It's like, that is like the Rambo 2 of the Jaws franchise.
I thought it was more of a, like a slasher film, though, isn't it?
It is. It's like she's Sharky Kruger.
But
right?
going back to that boat scene with the woman who pours the petrol on herself, that is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know if she was like, I better kill myself before this shark kills me, or it's like, oh, I done goofed. I thought this was going to work out.
Sharks don't like the taste of gasoline, so if I douse myself...
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's an odd duck. I mean, okay, so the question here is, we're doing the wrap-up. Do any of those films need to get made? Did this need to be a franchise? It's pretty paper-thin.
Well, the first one is the seminal blockbuster. I mean, it invented the word, literally, from people queuing round a block.
Jaws the origin of that?
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah.
No, I was...
You reckon it? Yeah, no, I was... Don't Google it. For God's sake, don't Google it.
No, I was like reading up that like it made, back in its day, it made $260 million, which adjusted for today's inflation is like over a bill.
That's like one of those Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's like, right? You know, like the Avengers, you know, that's like big kind of stuff like that, which seems kind of crazy when you go back and watch it. And it's like quite... I mean, it's... 1975, that film has got some 70s pacing. It is very slow in times. And it's kind of hard to see... I think that's the reason why us going and watching this franchise, I just found it quite weird to be like, yeah, I know that this is good. Like, you know, there's some stuff... There's a lot here to like. It's like Spielberg, but like, why did this film blow up the way it did? Because I think you just had to be, you know, I wasn't... around in 1975, so I think you had to, like, I think being there at the time, like, you can't really understand like the cultural phenomenon of Jaws. Mm. Like when you watch it and you go, this?
Yeah, this is the one?
Why not Rollerball?
I think one of the things for me is everybody, because I didn't, this passed me by for many, many years. I didn't really revisit Jaws until I probably saw, like, yeah, I think I saw it once as a kid and just remembered nothing of it. All of my friends were always like, oh, you know what film traumatized me as a kid? Jaws. Jaws is just so scary. And all of the marketing for all of the sequels are like, terror from the deep, the original fear, the most horrifying thing of all time. And the thing for me is, yeah, it's a fine film. Not scary. Not scary. I don't find sharks scary.
Did you not develop selicophobia?
Mate, the fear of Tom Selleck.
No, I love him.
Yeah. I've got selicophilia.
Yeah.
Pool selicophobia.
What?
It's a fear of sharks in swimming pools.
Do sharks ever get in swimming pools, ever? Has a shark ever been in a swimming pool? In fact, even in the entirety of the Jaws franchise, I don't think there is ever a shark in a swimming pool.
They could have had that. They could have had that in Jaws 3D if they'd actually just like put some time into writing it.
Didn't they have the like the baby shark?
Do, 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 do.
There is a baby shark in, and it gets tummy rubbed to death by the vet. So yeah, it's
in the swimming pool.
Yeah, like it's been an odd kind of ride. It seems like it's a franchise out of time, you know.
Yeah, and on that subject of like timeliness, I mean, Milo, when you were watching this for the first time and you kind of fell in love with the movie, how old would you have been?
I reckon about 7 years old.
7 years old. Yeah. So that seems quite young to me, and about the age that I probably would have found it scary. Did you find it scary?
Yeah, shit scared.
I think that's the... If you didn't watch it in 1975 when it came out, I think it's going to be one of those films that you watch, even though it's not made for kids, you watch that as a kid and that's when it's going to get you, because I think that we're too old and jaded now that we can watch it and we can be like, oh yeah, well this is good because of this, but these bits are silly because of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And this doesn't really hold up, you know, like whereas when you're like seven, you're just gonna watch it and be like, wow,
yeah,
bow-legged women.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I was obsessed by sharks as well.
Really?
But I think as a result of the film.
Well, that makes what's your favorite shark fact?
Oh, don't you put me on the spot there.
What's your favourite
type? Oh, okay, the Latin name for Great White is Carcharian Carcharius.
Nice. Isn't that a character from Game of Thrones?
Possibly. And that is in the original Jaws.
Like, what about the wider splash that this big, heavy franchise made as it belly flopped down onto the water, right?
Like, it blew the fuck up, though. That's the other thing. Yeah, like, you don't understand like how big the film was, but then how much everyone wanted a slice of that Jaws money.
Yeah. Because there has not been basically a year since this movie came out that there wasn't another shark movie out, right?
Yeah.
I did a quick straw poll of some people in my life and I said, hey guys, tell me what your favourite shark movies are. Fuck me, that was a mistake. My inbox absolutely flamed out with about 1,000 different shark movies from people, most of which I'd never heard of, all of which they said, oh, it's awful, but it's a lot of fun. It doesn't really sound like any of them are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, with like Jaws the Shark 1, like that is a well crafted bit of film with a hokey shark in it. Like, you know, it's got, you know, you might love it, you might be like us and be like, well, it's really good, but it's got some issues, but like you can't say like it's not like a well done film. And then all other shark films just seem to be schlocky. And I think that like Jaws, just because it was Spielberg, he was young and hungry and up and coming, and he just like took something schlocky and like went for it. Just to quickly say, like, about, you know, like the possibility of Jaws coming back, it not look like Jaws is gonna come back anytime soon.
But that's when you know he's gonna get you. When you thought it was safe.
We've been feeling too safe for too long. But like, there's not been really any like chatter about like Jaws seemingly coming back. Spielberg said he would, you know, wouldn't want that to happen. But Beardy Dreyfuss, Richard Dreyfuss has came out and said, like, he's saying, like, oh, yeah, you should bring Jaws back and take out the hokey practical effects shark and do a CGI shark. And, okay, so this is his quote on it. It said,
hit me.
It would be huge and open up the film to younger people. Is that blasphemy? No, I don't think so. The technology now could make the shark look as good as the rest of the movie. And, like, yeah, kind of Beardy Dreyfuss, but also I just don't think you really understand, like, how cinema has changed between, like, 1975 and now. Because we're talking about, like, shark films now are, like, Sharknado, The Meg.
Shark Tale.
Shark Tale. All
that's
these,
a CGI shark.
Yeah, all these kind of things. Like, you put a CGI shark in. The shark is not in the film that much, and it still can't. And it can't.
They couldn't get it to work, could they?
They couldn't get it. No, exactly. They couldn't get it to
but
work.
That added to the suspense.
And all it does is kind of pop up and go ram 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 and go back down. So that's all you're going to do is put in a CGI shark that's going to do the same thing. You're not going to make it do anything that's going to like grab the kids who have just been watching like fuckloads of like, you know, like Jurassic Park and like all these like superhero films and like all this like mad crazy CGI special effects. You still got a film shot in the 70s where everyone looks like they're in the 70s. It's really slow. It's got a bunch of guys like on a boat for an hour, and then a CGI shark pops up and goes meh. That's not gonna open it up to like young people that would not go and watch it anyway.
Yeah, like, I agree with you.
Because like now, like a shark film's got to be The Meg, where you've got Jason Statham fighting a megalodon, where he flies out of the water and puts a harpoon by hand into its eye in midair, and then it dies.
Man, I want to watch that film.
That's how you. That's how you got to do a shark film now. You can't say smile, you son of a.
Have you guys heard of this upcoming movie, Big Shark?
No, but I like the title.
So,
sounds massive.
Big Shark is a movie about a big shark.
Yeah, how big are we talking?
Well, it's quite big, but it's also in the streets of New Orleans during a flood. So it's literally roaming the streets, city streets. Oh, it's directed by a certain Mr. Tommy Wiseau, director of The Room, aka the disaster artist himself.
Nice.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Would you guys like to watch the trailer for Big Shark?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Well, listeners at home, I strongly urge you to Google Big Shark trailer at this point.
What is it?
Guys, I'm pretty stoked for Big Shark.
Wow, that is some next level shit. Is it being made by the Sci-Fi Channel? Are they putting up the money? It seems like the kind of thing they do. It's a very poorly edited together trailer.
Doesn't bode well.
There is one more offshoot movie that I would particularly like to talk about. So a movie called USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage.
Good, now, I like a long name.
Yeah, like a long name. Now, this movie is the story that Quint tells on the boat when after he was in, like...
How can you tell?
Sharks go in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Go in the water.
I tied an onion to my belt. So, by the way, I didn't realise, I looked at the transcript of that speech he gives, and he was saying that he was part of the team that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, which is why they were out there. That makes him a baddie, right? Yeah, Doesn't that make him a baddie?
I mean, you know, I think that, like, Quint is, like, chaotic neutral.
Yeah. He likes swimming with bow-legged women, yeah, pear brandy, yeah, and bombing the fuck out of foreigners. But no, it's the movie based on that. So it's the US, they've bombed Hiroshima, and then they're, like, floating in the water and these sharks attack. But there's two people involved with it, Tom, that I think you specifically might be interested in.
Okay.
Number one, the star. Certain Mr. Nicolas Cage.
Whoa!
I don't think he's Quint. His character name isn't Quint. I think Quint is just sort of there. But like he's like the captain of the ship.
Well, I'm assuming it's not official. I'm guessing it's not
canon. But I think it's based on a real boat. Like something that actually happened. The other name that might interest you is the director of USS Indianapolis Men of Courage. Certain Mr. Mario Van Peebles.
True
star of Jaws the Revenge.
Yes. Oh, Peabody. Jake.
Yeah. So there's no way wasn't aware of the link here, and it's just like non-official canon.
That's awesome. Whoa. I love it.
We're gonna have to seek that out.
I hope he's gonna make like a Highlander fan film next. Because that basically sounds like what he's doing like a Jaws fan film. Yes. Okay, yeah, I'm into that. Maybe we should try and watch that sometime.
But speaking of canon, guys, what about the ball that started it all? What about the Peter Benchley book that this whole franchise was based on? I haven't read it. You two bros have.
I read it when I was about 10 or something.
Do you remember much of it?
Not really. I remember the main difference between the film and the book was Hooper had an affair with Brody's wife.
Yeah, it's not good. It's bad. It's a bad, bad thing.
Bad thing.
Yeah.
The other thing I remember is this. The ending's quite different. I think Hooper dies.
Yeah, Hooper goes down in his shark cage and unsurprisingly gets eaten by a fucking big shark.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think the actual final death of the shark is slightly different.
Yeah, they spiced it up. So basically, it's quite weird that we kind of mentioned this in like the Jaws the Shark 1 episode, that it's very much the first bit of the story, like in the film, is all Brody's story. Mm-hmm. And then they go on the boat and they don't know. Like, because Brody is not he's not a seaman. Whereas the other two are. So he's just like feeling out of place on a boat. The only thing is that in the book, you've got this extra tension because he thinks that Hooper's fucked his wife.
Right, yeah.
And I love the idea of that extra tension and them being all kind of bottled in together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it would be great if they could have fit it in, obviously, without the whole very unfortunate sexual fantasies that they go into. I don't know what Peter Benchley was on about there. We won't talk about that anymore. But the whole thing is like, it's Quint. Quint's the one who kills the shark. And like the book ends with like Brody is floating in the water. The shark's about to get him and then it gives out because Quint's fucked him up too much. And by this point, Quint is dead and basically gets dragged down into the waters with the shark's body. And then fucking Brody's just hanging onto a cushion and has to swim to shore. Book ends, and that's where the film ends. And like with the book and the film, they both leave these threads hanging. There's stuff that you want. You want
bit of closure. You know,
just like, I mean, within the book, like Brody's figured out while he's been on this boat that his wife was fucking Hooper, who's now dead. There's some stuff there. There's at least an epilogue. And I'm not saying, because there's a thing now with like, especially with like films and shit, that people need to feel they need to answer literally every question that anyone has, and you don't need to do that.
Nah.
But it feels like there are too many kind of there's interesting threads to pull on that Peter Benchley does not pull on.
Is and it a long book?
Not particularly long. No,
thick like that. Like I don't know, a couple of days to read if you were just hanging out on a beach kind of thing.
I don't know. I listened to it on Audible, so it's about 7 hours.
Okay, all right. That's a shortish.
If I'm being honest, yeah, I think I read it in. I found a copy in a youth hostel in Thailand when I was about 18, and read it again on a beach.
Nice.
In about three days.
Right, there you go. Sounds about right. So I wonder if the reason I was asking is I wonder if it was edited down and maybe his first draft had a bit more detail about that. And because it is quite a slim volume now, maybe his editors were like, you don't need that, you don't need that, you
maybe.
Don't need that.
I just, because the thing is, like, you know, like, Jaws the Shark is, he's an instigator of like, chaos in, like, Brody's life. But, like, and the shark is kind of the villain, but, like, the shark just kind of pops up now and then and kind of makes chaos. And it's, like, the chaos that is caused by the shark that actually makes his life difficult, you know, like, and it's so like there's all these other situations that get created by the shark that then don't get resolved. And it's just kind of like, well, the shark's dead, so I just assume that my wife is gonna, like, you know, like our marriage will be fine, and like, you know, the town selectman who was in with the mob, like, he said he's moved away, so that storyline. But it's like, no, there's more.
Yeah.
But those are some book feelings. There was also a comic book adaptation of Jaws 2 done by Marvel, and I've had a look at like some of like the panels of it. Actually, if you like Jaws, it's probably worth seeking out because the artwork looks really cool. And because it's like comic books, it looks so much more cinematic than the film. Like, it's all like really cool, like comic book poses and real gnarly stuff. That was an official Jaws comic,
but
there was some, you know, like Jaws knockoff things going on like around like 75-76 that basically like everyone wanted a piece of Jaws money. So like you had like Spider-Man fighting a giant shark, you had Archie fighting a giant shark. There's like issue of Action Comics from DC which's got like Superman, and it's called Jaws of the Killer Shark. Okay, yeah, cool, legally distinct.
Get rid of the word Jaws and, the Killer Shark.
Yeah. And it's like Superman flying over the beach while a shark jumps up and bites his cape, which is like, okay, cool, we're cashing in on Jaws. Superman fighting a shark? unless that shark is made of fucking kryptonite, I do not see where the drama is. Like, he's got X-ray vision. He can just look in the sea and find him and throw it into the sun. Yeah. Superman can go and sit in the sun. A shark ain't doing shit. But still, you got to make some of that Jaws money. And then there was also like a series called Hookjaw, the Shark, which ran in it's like a British thing in Action Comics, which is like a precursor to 2000 AD.
Oh right.
So who's called like basically the story about a great white shark. It was done as like a cash in rip off of Jaws, like a lot of like the stories in that comic anthology were. He's got a big hook through his jaw, but he's a goodie.
What?
Yeah, the great white shark is a goodie, and that, like, basically he goes around and eats corrupt humans, and it's got like this whole environmental slant, so he'll like go and like kill a bunch of people who are like doing an oil rig. You're doing an oil rig, I'm hooked on.
I do feel a little bit sorry for Benchley, because as far as I heard it, he was basically given, his lifelong dream had been to be a writer, and him and his wife kind of talked about the fact that he was making no money from his writing, and he agreed to do like one last ditch novel, like just bash it out quickly, make it as commercial as possible, and just, if I don't get anything out of this, then that's it, I'm quitting writing forever after a lifetime of trying to be a writer. And that was Jaws, which then became the thing that defined him. And then he was like, okay, cool, now I'm going to get back to my passion, which is writing about pirates. Nobody gave a fuck. Absolutely nobody gave a fuck. He tried to write about pirates for quite a while, as far as I understand it. Nobody gave a fuck. So then he was forced to write Beast, which is about a giant squid.
Yeah.
And then eventually White Shark, which I have a really strong memory of my dad reading on holiday, the same holiday that I read Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
And White Shark is about a Nazi genetically engineered shark-human hybrid. Peter Benchley, hats off to you.
Yeah.
You found your niche and you fucking dove through it, son, and out the other side.
I love that, like that. Like, I was reading about this as well. It's like that it's called White Shark and it does not have a shark in it. The twist is it's a man engineered by Nazis.
But it's a Nazi, so it's probably white.
Yes, exactly. It's definitely going to be fucking white.
My next holiday read.
Yeah, White Shark. But then after that, he like really kind of like felt bad about writing all this stuff that sensationalized the sea as like the, and like sharks and undersea creatures as terrifying, scary things. And he wrote a book called Shark Trouble, which is like a non-fiction book, like about how the media sensationalizes, you know, like sightings of sharks and like, you know, like it's basically the problem that he helped create.
Oh, which is a troubled figure.
Yeah. Like, so he's like now like a bit more of like an ocean activist.
Good for him. Is he still going then?
I don't know. He might be dead.
Again, for God's sake, don't Google it. So listen, Milo, we dragged you all the way out here. I feel like we would be remiss if we did not delve into your own personal raison d'etre, which I believe is video games.
Okay, yeah, so we've been playing some Jaws-related video games. The first one we played was Jaws on the NES, the original Nintendo.
So I was not here for this. You two, like Milo...
Tom, as a married father, he's locked away in his suburban tower of parenthood. He's like peeking
never
out
never going to see a video
window,
game again!
Peeking out the window desperately as me and Milo like set up the NES just outside the window with the screen facing away so he couldn't see. All he could see was the glee on our faces as we tapped away at the controller, laughing and hugging.
So was that real glee or was it some serious bullshit?
It was all right. It's not a bad game. It's quite a sort of arcade style sort of underwater shooter. So
my first impression of it, the first thing that I think you will love, Tom, is how fucking banging the like the chiptune version of the Jaws theme tune.
Oh, that sounds good.
Comes on the title screen is.
Dope.
Okay, so yeah. So the game was released in 1987, So that's 12 years after the original Jaws.
However, it's more
sort of based. Which film was released? Oh, so it's probably more based on Jaws: The Revenge. So
I was going to say, like, 87 would have been like, yeah, it would have been Jaws: The Revenge.
Yeah.
Is there a side quest where you get to go and try and fuck someone's mum?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
I cheat don't code, think maybe. Nintendo would have licensed okay. that game.
Okay, all right.
Just saying.
What are we killing? Are we killing sharks? Are we killing, like, all kinds of... Is it just all the sea? Are we finally doing what Brody wanted and killing the sea?
Murder the sea!
So we have an infinite number of spears.
Excellent, yep.
And we have to kill... I think they were manta rays?
Yeah, manta rays and jellyfish.
Oh, they're fucking dickheads, those manta rays.
There's some annoying jelly...
Oh, shoot
fish.
Them.
Yeah, and then when you kill them, they drop conch shells, which make you... which you can then sell for things that will help you kill Jaws the shark.
Because Amity Island operates on a conch shell barter system.
Based economy, yeah.
So, initially, your main aim is to find the next port.
Yeah.
But you need to collect, as Todd was saying, a number of shells. So once you've got 3 shells, you can then get a shark detector. Okay, and then suddenly...
Oh, that's what Mario Van Peebles made.
Yeah, and it only cost him 3 shells.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, yeah,
and then suddenly Jaws just turns up, and you
when he turns up, the message says, before it was like, you hit something. When you find Jaws the shark, the message, in the game, Tom, it says, you found Jaws. The game calls him Jaws.
Yes, good. Good, good, good. I was hoping it was going to say Jaws the shark.
Well, of course, obviously I mentally completed that. But.
Just to clarify. So I'm just getting the impression that this is, that when he shows up, it's basically like the Nintendo Friday the 13th, when Jason shows up.
That
Jaws stands there and you're in a log cabin and you've just got to punch him and you've got to punch him and then you die.
Almost.
Is it?
You don't get quite to the finale.
Yeah.
You can try and kill him, but you need to sort of power up your character. So you have to keep swimming from port to port, going to these random underwater sections, collecting shells, powering up your character, and eventually...
And then he loses an arm, and then you're like, ah, fucking hell.
Then eventually you're powerful enough to actually kill him.
Yeah.
And then it goes to a final boss fight. And you're just in the boat, and the shark's coming to you. Oh, sorry, I forgot. You have to collect these... what did they use at the end of Jaws of Revenge? They were those sort of
It was a torch.
They threw a torch in him.
That really antagonized him. So you have to collect those. Once you beat the game and you stab Jaws and the final boss, then you just fly off into the sunset in Hoagie's plane, presumably. But doesn't make any sense.
I hate to think what's gone on that plane. Anyway...
But we did play another game, which I would say was a little bit better and certainly a lot more controversial.
Oh, okay.
Jaws Unleashed on the PlayStation 2.
Which is what, 2006?
2006,
who the fuck is making Jaws games in 2006?
Received it in the post this morning off eBay.
Yeah, how was it?
Fantastic.
Oh,
great
yeah?
fun. Actually a really good fun game.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Tom, let me pitch it to you. It is Grand Theft Auto... But you're a shark.
Okay.
It's so bloody. You go around, you're this shark, and like every time you move, your little health meter goes down, and the game is constantly going, you're hungry, you need to eat something, you're hungry. Yeah. And there are these people swimming around you all the time, and you have to just go, nom 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 nom, and take a chomp out of them. But the thing is, like, you tap the button to chomp, and then they're still in your mouth screaming, and there's so much blood, and it's like, no, you have to keep chewing, chew it. And then you go around, you float around, and you do these little side quests, and it's like, there are some people having a party on a flotation device. Go and murder them! And you just have to go and do it. And the opening level, which we were stuck on for fucking ages, is you're trapped in SeaWorld, and...
Like Jaws the Shark. I can't, but is it actually
SeaWorld? No, they call it like Ocean Land.
Okay.
And you have to, like, it, as would be normal in like any video game, it's like, right, you need to get the key card to get the gate open. But you're a shark, right? So what you have to do is there are these scientists walking around like the gates around the the pool that you're in.
Yeah.
So you have to jump out of the water, flop awkwardly along the land, get one of the scientists in your jaws, not chew him, because that's where we were going wrong. We were chewing them when me and Milo played it. You have to hold him in your jaws, then get back in the water before your like oxygen meter runs down, because you need to be in the water. Then you swim over to where the key card reader is. That opens the gate and lets you through, where after a few more little levels, you have a boss battle with Shamu.
Oh my god.
How long was I fighting Shamu?
It took Milo about 20 minutes to defeat Shamu.
Until I figured out he had a very boring attack pattern.
Oh.
And you could just follow him around the swimming pool, eating the odd seal.
Didn't even need to eat the seals.
You didn't need, he was wasting just his time eating seals. His tail.
Oh, that sounds ridiculous. I like the fact that, like, your jaws, that you're the baddie, and I was like, why couldn't they? I want to see that sequence in a film. it's like a real Jurassic Park vibe. That's what I was thinking. That's what Jaws 3D was missing. It's like it could have been like a Jurassic Park thing. There's no way a great white shark can get out of here. It's the most technologically advanced sea world in the world. And then it's like kind of flops out, grabs someone and like vomits it into the door and it hits the key thing just right. And it's like, oh, okay, brilliant. Like it's jury, it's like rigged like a reverse scuba suit so it can go on land. That, I want that.
I gotta say, it really made an impression on me.
Jaws Unleashed, I'm gonna be playing that all weekend.
Is
it's
it
actually
like,
really fun.
Even thought that, like, that era of games is, I don't play a lot of games, but that's like the graphical style and stuff. It's quite interesting because it's so blocky, but kind of also 3D.
It's that second generation of 3D graphics, PlayStation 2. It didn't look too bad. I thought it was all right.
I thought
the graphics were great. It was sometimes it was quite difficult to control.
You've got separate controls for Jaws's head and his tail.
So you've got you've got three main attacks. You've got bite, tail, and just charge.
Okay.
And that's it really. And then you just just go around just fucking shit up.
I mean, it sounds really interesting. I look forward to playing this game when my daughter's like 30. maybe I'll have time.
Mate, you won't have much else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just hoping we could really quickly listen to a small selection of songs that I know directly reference Jaws. And I'll include some little samples for our listeners as well. And we'll just have a super quick round of initial reactions to these
songs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the very first one is something called, brace yourself, Tom, Just When You Thought It Was Safe by the original DJ XL.
Fish out there with a mouth about this big. Just when you thought he was safe.
Thoughts on Just When You Thought It Was Safe by DJ XL?
Fuck me! Wow. Oh, yeah. Is that intended to be, like, dropped in a club? Because if so, there just obviously must be a lot of people just standing around where there's no beat and there's just horrible, horrible garbage going on.
Isn't that most clubs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it builds up in anticipation for the drop, I guess.
All right, well, thank you very much, DJ XL, the original DJ XL. This next track is called Mr. Jaws. It's by a guy called Dickie Goodman, who I understand was a bit of a Jive Bunny in the master mixes of his day.
Oh, Jive Bunny.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, mister, please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
I'm sad now.
Yeah, while we were listening to that, Todd said, it was a popular song when it came out. I mean, I would argue that is not a song.
No, and the jokes don't even make sense, right? It's like, what should you do if a shark attacks you? You should do the hustle! That's just another thing.
Yeah, I mean, once is too many times to listen to that song, and like twice is definitely too... Like, who would buy that and spin that and then be like, I'm going to put that on again? Like, I really... What? What is the appeal?
I have nothing more to add. That was appalling.
Right, so DJ Spreadsheet is doing pretty well so far.
The very last one is a song by a band called The Seaweeds, called Jaws, You Swam Away With My Heart.
Oh, Jaws, you swam away with my heart. Oh, Jaws, you tore my whole world apart. Oh, Jaws,
come back with my heart.
That was lovely.
Yeah, I would... That's hands down the winner of those three. I would listen to that again. I would like seek that out to be like, you know what I want to listen to? That Jaws song. That's good.
Milo?
DJ XL all the way.
Ah!
No, that was nice. That was nice and...
It was toy
and friendly.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that obviously that was done in like the mid-70s and it's like just sat, I mean...
It's like a novelty song for a horror film, essentially.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Monster Mash, but for sharks.
Yeah, no one was singing that about Jason Voorhees, were they?
No. Dig it. Yeah, I'm into that. I mean, it's so weird, like, just to think, like, you know, like a film now would spawn a load of, like, novelty songs. It's like it was a different time.
Absolutely.
Talking of spawning novelty things.
Oh, yes.
I think it's time for our little traditional wrap-up shindig of pitching the sequel, where we add our own take to the Jaws canon and say what we would like to see happen next with our favourite shark, Jaws the Shark, and his extended family of sharks, also called Jaws.
I can't wait, Tom, I can't wait.
Well, you don't have to wait, Todd. Do you want to hit us with a sequel?
I suppose, you know what, it is my civic duty as the town selectman of this podcast recording studio. I will hit you with my Jaws sequel first. It's not necessarily my best work, but it's probably going to be my shortest to pitch.
Go for it.
So there is a small mercy there. I'm going to tell you the title of my sequel last. I'm going to pitch it to you and then tell you the title.
Mm-hmm.
So strap in, daddy-o.
Okay, I'm strapped.
So this is my idea for a new Jaws film. It can come out this year. So the pitch is, there's a shark loose in a pond, in a public pond, okay?
Mm.
The shark isn't white, it's not a great white, it's a jet black shark. So it's very difficult to see. And it keeps eating all of the dog walkers that come to this specifically dog-friendly section of the park.
Yeah.
The two main characters are an undercover narcotics officer transferred from Copenhagen on a mission to catch international drug dealers in the area, and his partner Mark. The plot pivots around a particularly important line that Mark says about the dangerous animal. Unfortunately, they could only record one take of the line, and it was on a very windy day, so the audio is very difficult to hear. Because of this... The name of the film is a specific instruction for the audience to pay extra attention when this line comes. Otherwise, they wouldn't possibly understand the rest of the story. So therefore, to make sure that people pay extra attention to this particular occurrence when it comes up, the name of the film and the name on the poster is Hark Mark's Remark to the Denmark Narc about the dark shark in the Stark Bark Park.
Well, obviously...
colon Jaws 5.
There we go. Okay. That's what I got.
Yeah.
Couple of issues.
Got some notes.
Shut up, that took me ages.
That is fantastic.
No, I appreciate your moxie coming in here and pitching a big bold idea.
It's got to be a bull shark if it's in fresh water.
Yeah, but that doesn't rhyme. It had to be a dark shark. All right, Milo, well, why don't you go next? I would like, okay, if you're boys. So big and bold, Mr. Jaws super fan, what is your Jaws sequel?
Okay, boys, I'm combining my two favourite childhood films.
Yeah.
Jaws and Ghostbusters.
Oh my God.
Jaws v. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you still with me? Yeah.
I'm with you, baby. Okay.
I think I've got
set
the concept.
13 years after the events of Jaws the Revenge,
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Michael Brody's daughter.
Did he have a daughter?
Yeah, Theo. Okay.
Right, sorry.
Is studying New York at college.
Mm.
Okay. And the ghost of the shark is hunting her.
Nice. Yep, ghost shark, I'm in. Here's your money.
Thus, the Ghostbusters are called in.
Okay.
Yeah.
to hunt the shark down.
Is the shark still confined to water even in death?
Yeah, yeah, it's like he's like hunting around Coney Island. She's on a date.
So she can't just go to Queens or something.
Just manifest in the bath.
Okay, and the big twist is, yeah?
Hit me.
The ghost of Quint comes back to help the Ghostbusters capture Ghost Jaws or Ghost Shark.
Who would you have play the ghost of Quint in 2019 when you're making that? Who's your dream casting?
CGI of Robert... Sure.
I was going to say one of Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets. Marley and Marley. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, the ghost of Quint brings in some dolphins that distract Ghost Shark, meaning Egon from the Ghostbusters, who are in their Ecto boat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Ecto 1, their car. Yeah. Can unleash the net to capture... said Ghost Shark.
I mean, this is perfect.
Okay, I might need to think it through a bit.
No, I mean, I was going to say, this is perfect, although you have neglected to realise one thing when pitching the sequel, that obviously Ghostbusters is the high watermark of all of human achievement, and so to make a new film with the Ghostbusters is literally the worst idea you could possibly do.
How very dare you!
Shut up, internet. It was fine. That film was fine.
It was fine.
It was not great, but it was fine. So go and make your film.
Thank you.
Good.
Right. Tomedy Denedy, what have you got for us on this most sharky of days?
So we've already said that that Jaws isn't really right for a reboot now. Like, it's kind of not really going to like work on the big screen with what the kids are into these days. So it's fine. We're going to go for TV series.
Whoa!
The Coffee Dog Chronicles.
I knew you were going to do Coffee Dog.
So, we're doing Coffee Dog.
Recap on who Coffee Dog is.
So, Coffee Dog is the dog that appears in one scene of Jaws 3D that is eating on the kitchen counter while the son Brody is lifting up the dog's ears so the dog doesn't like eat its own ears, and then he's also pouring coffee, what looks like pouring coffee, just over the dog.
Mwah!
Coffee Dog.
I only know this about because I listen to your podcast. I don't remember this scene.
Well,
it's a key scene. Go back and watch it.
Yeah, you got to go back and watch it because when the Coffee Dog Chronicles comes out, this is going to be this is what you need to know about. It's basically like a multiverse jumping version of Quantum Leap meets The Littlest Hobo. So basically, after ingesting so much piping hot Java, Coffee Dog is able to leap through the multiverse, like Fry, you know, like Fry in Futurama, where he drinks so much coffee that like time slows down. It's like that for Coffee Dog, but he literally jumps into like other like parallel dimensions and different states of being.
Oh yeah.
And it's a bit like, yeah, like in Quantum Leap, that like he leaps from one reality to another reality, and in all of these realities he has to help a different alternate reality of the Brody family against Jaws the Shark.
This sounds huge.
Jaws the Shark, though, is also jumping realities, trying to kill as many Brodies in different... So the thing is, like Quantum Leap, Coffee Dog can leap into a human body. Jaws can leap into it. He's not always going to be a shark, because filming this thing with a dog and a shark the whole time would be a fucking nightmare. So we need to eliminate the shark and the dog. Okay,
sensible.
So we're doing the Jaws spin-off with a dog, that we need to get rid of the shark and the dog. And they're jumping through, and then how did this happen? Well, Brody was pouring all that coffee on him for a reason. He's an engineer. He was trying to create interdimensional travel, and he pops up like the guy in Quantum Leap who's like, Ziggy says you can't leap. until you kill another shark. And then Coffee Dog's like, oh my God. And then Coffee Dog's like learning all these things about what it is to be human when he leaps into human bodies. One of those bodies he leaps into, Michael Caine. Hoagie.
Hoagie.
Because
he's a horn dog?
Because he's a horn dog. Because he's a horn dog, yes. And also because, as we all know, between Jaws 3 and Jaws the Revenge, there is a massive inconsistency in what the jobs are that the Brody children are doing. And I'm just saying, it's because different dimensions. So the whole point of doing this TV series is to explain away why those job descriptions don't match up between two films that nobody cares about.
Because nobody could ever just change jobs.
No! No, you don't be like, I moved to a landlocked place to be away from the sea because I'm deathly afraid of sharks, to suddenly be like, I'm the police chief in Boat Town.
This is ambitious.
Yeah, it's through the looking glass kind of stuff.
Yeah, I for one, Tom, salute your grand vision.
Thank you.
The unfilmable.
Yes. It's my Don Quixote.
Milo.
I think my sequel has the most chance of being made.
Do you know what? It probably...
I don't know, mate. You seen the shit they make on Netflix? I'm going to go.
What's wrong with my one about the dog park and the Danish narcotics officer?
That's good. That sounds gritty. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scandi noir, isn't it?
Yeah, love it. Love it. The shark's wearing a big, thick jumper.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our time with the Jaws franchise. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening with us through season 9. 9 bloody seasons, Tom.
Ye gods, man.
This is such a long time to have been doing The Bitter End. We went away for a bit, but it's been an absolute delight to be back. And thank you so much, everybody, that's been getting in touch with us all of the time in the interim, through Twitter, through Facebook. It's so good to hear from you. So thank you very much. The question on everybody's lips at this moment, or at least on mine, is, Tom, are we going to do another season?
Oh, let's give it a hot go.
Oh, come on.
We've got to do 10. We've got to do 10. Yeah.
We've got to do at least 10.
Yeah.
So, yes, there will be another season. Thank you very much. Season 10 is coming. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to take a little bit of a breather after this one. Tom's got a daughter to raise. I probably have other things going on in my life, perhaps.
Maybe. We'll never know.
Yeah.
But me and Todd do not meet each other outside of this podcast. Never even met him before.
But we have chosen what we think we're going to do. So it's another slightly shorter franchise. 5 movies this time rather than 4. We're returning to our roots. We're going for a bit more out-and-out horror, but it's going to be a particularly interesting horror franchise because it's one that spans the 70s through to the present day, the mid-noughties, as we are in now.
I like it when that happens.
With the same director and star and writer all the way through.
Nice.
Which has never happened before in one of the franchises that we've covered. Can you guess it, horror fans listening? We are doing...
Phantasm. The delusion of a disordered mind.
Don Coscarelli's Phantasm. The ultimate 80s retro, like super psychedelic, Dune-inspired psychopomp romp through the world of an evil undertaker.
I mean, I know nothing about Phantasm, but I'm sold. I'm in.
I have only ever seen the first one, and I saw it a very, very long time ago when I first started getting into horror films. I'm so, so excited to revisit it, and I'm so excited to follow it all the way through an entire lifetime, essentially, as Don Coscarelli. He's done loads of other things. He made Bubba Hotep, which is a really great film with Bruce Campbell. He made The Beastmaster. He made John Dies at the End. And he's also just published a book called True Indie, which is about his life as seen through the lens of the films he's made, including 5 fucking Phantasm films, basically nice. Every 15 years for his entire life. So the list of movies is Phantasm from 1979, Phantasm 2, 1988, what a huge gap, Phantasm 3, Lord of the Dead, 1994,
yep.
Phantasm 4, Oblivion, 1998, quite soon after Phantasm 3, and then finally Phantasm 5, Ravager from 2016.
Some big gaps in time. I like that. That's going to be really interesting. And it's also really interesting that it's like the same creative core all the way through. Like that's going to be, because like the closest we've got to that is like the Child's Play stuff, because obviously Don Mancini kind of had his hands on every film, at least in some capacity.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like this is going to be, yeah, interesting.
I believe Don Coscarelli didn't direct the final film, but he was certainly involved and produced and was involved in it. So I cannot wait. They're super psychedelic. They're very sort of M.C. Escher. They're really kind of grim dark, but they've got like kids in them and they're about like an evil funeral director. And oh, Tom, I cannot wait for you to find out about it.
Well, won't you join us and me particularly, because I have no idea what we're going into on this one, on season 10 when we get all Fantasmic.
And listeners, if you are fans of Phantasm, if you've never heard of Phantasm, if you hate the choice, if you love the choice, please drop us the line. You can always get in touch with us on Twitter at BitterEndPod or on Facebook at BitterEndPod. Until then, Milo, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today and talking about sharks and all things sharky.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for being here. Thank you, Todd, for being here. You know, it would
I was
be,
here
it,
anyway.
I know, it would be an awkward podcast if it was, you know, like those podcasts when I show up and it's just me. I hate those. They're really
There's
weird.
No mics or anything. Yeah, sit in a room, talk on your own for hours, never even hear it on the internet later. Waste of time.
Until next time. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, shark. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark, do 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 do. Mommy shark. Daddy shark, do 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 do. Daddy shark.